You're working on a core state standards program. Tell me what the goal of this program is.
Well, the core standards are standards, a little more rigorous standards that have been adopted by a number of states, Missouri included, that are focused much more on student learning outcomes. And the goal is for them to be aligned with kind of college and career readiness expectations, with the hope and the goal that students will be better prepared once they've completed their secondary education to then move into post-secondary education. If everything works as we believe it will, it will reduce the amount need for remediation. It should help students be better prepared, cut down on the amount of time it takes them to move through the post-secondary educational system. So we're looking at it as, it should improve both the quality and then also the efficiency with which students move through our system.
Is there an assumption in this process that all students will go into a post-secondary education program of some kind?
Well, certainly not every single one, but I think all the economic indicators and much of the available data is pointing to what many people call the 21st century economy is going to require additional training and education past high school into post-secondary. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean every student is going to have to earn a bachelor's degree, but what we're trying to, our goal is to get students prepared so that they can, earn those high-quality credentials, certificates, associate's degrees, baccalaureate degrees, that are going to help them in the workplace and be part of this, this 21st century economy.
Well, this has been underway, as I recall, for about 5 years or so, when people first really started seriously talking about it, and the legislature started talking about getting the two departments, elementary and secondary and higher ed, closer and closer together. Where are you from the on the line, do you think, from the point of starting discussions to where you're going to have the final recommendations or the final program?
Well, this is the common the core standards were really kind of a K-12 initiative that came out of the National Governors Association and what's known as the CCSSO, the Chief. Chief School Officers Organization, State School Officers Organization, and then higher ed kind of came to this a little bit late. Although we had been doing some work with K-12 in terms of aligning curriculum, but since about 2010, maybe late in the year in 2010. DESE, the Department of Elementary and Secondary Ed, and the Department of Higher Ed, we've worked very closely, collaborated in trying to make this be a successful initiative. And even though the standards are really focused on K-12, higher ed has an important role to play because. It's our colleges of education that are training the next generation of teachers that now are going to be teaching these new standards, these new expectations to students. So it's going to require some adaptation on the part of higher ed, in revising our educator preparation curricula. But it also is going to affect faculty, I think, and how we... even in the arts and sciences, teaching math and language arts, and the role that all higher ed faculty, to an extent, play in helping train the next generation of teachers.
Now, I can hear some critics looking at this and saying this model curriculum is a one-size-fits-all thing that you're going to try to put on all schools at all levels. How much flexibility is there? How much individuality will there be in this model curriculum? And I guess an answer would be to some degree or another, because I've heard it given before, is that a model curriculum is not hard and fast. It's a suggested curriculum as much as anything. Is that, would I be right?
Yeah. The model curriculum we're hoping to develop with this grant is really the changes that will need to be developed in educator preparation. So it's curriculum at the higher ed level. And really that's as much as anything of getting all of our institutions kind of talking the same language and on the same page. You're absolutely right. This is not, something that's etched in stone and sent down from the mountaintop. It is the suggested curriculum that we will identify gaps in the current curriculum and areas that might need to be strengthened, strategies, provide resources to help faculty and institutions understand where those gaps are and what they can do to try to address it and how they prepare their students to go into our K-12 classrooms.
We're one of only a few states that have gotten this grant. What sets us apart from the other states that didn't get this kind of money? What are we doing better than they are?
I think Missouri is doing, we're doing several things. One, we collaborate very closely, and I think our collaboration with DESE has been very effective, and I think that was evident in the proposal. The other thing is we've undertaken a number of very important steps to begin to address some concerns in our educational system, especially at the higher ed level. I assume you're probably familiar with some of the provisions of what's known as House Bill 1042. There's a provision that we're beginning to implement a reverse transfer policy. Students who begin at a community college and then go to a four-year school but then do not complete the baccalaureate degree may be able to transfer some of those credits earned at the four-year school back to the two-year school and be awarded an earned associate degree. We're also developing a transfer library of at least 25 courses so that it will help students transferring from two-year to four-year or between four-year institutions. And we've also are preparing to revise the way we address remediation, developmental education. That's all part of House Bill 1042. So I think those two things really stood out to the in our grant and caught the eye of the folks at NGA. And I think the third thing is the cooperation and the support we have from the institutions. They're committed, I believe, to making our educational system as, the very best it can be. I think it's an excellent system now, but we're always striving to improve and to do better. They've committed to working collaboratively and working closely with one another working with both DESE and DHE to make that a reality.
Elementary and secondary education has gotten the waiver from No Child Left Behind. How does that help this situation, or is that a part of it at all?
It's not really directly related, I don't believe, to this grant. The waiver was granted because, as I understand it, DESE now has in place a plan for measuring student success and student achievement. That was the basis of these waivers. And that comes back to these core academic standards that we are working with DESE to implement. So, to some extent it is related, but I'm not sure I would say there's a direct connection.
Okay. Anything we haven't touched on about this grant and where it's going or how it's going to be used that needs to be emphasized to the folks out there who hear about this?
Well, it's a little bit different in that it's really most of the attention has been directed at the K-12 sector, and this is evidence of a growing recognition that post-secondary education has an important role to play in this as well, and it really is going to take a collaborative effort on from both sectors to implement these standards and to address the reforms that we need to make to improve our education system.